Exclusive listening with 1010 Podcasts.
The Celtic Exchange, a fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
So, after intense speculation last night, Celtic officially confirmed at 7:07 this morning that Neil Lennon had resigned his position as manager of the football club. It's the news that many fans had waited a long time to hear, but despite that, I'd guess that many of us are experiencing some sort of mixed feelings just now over the end of an era of someone who was hugely successful as player, coach and manager of Celtic Football Club. This is Tino from the Celtic Exchange, thanks for tuning in, and tonight I'm joined by Miff as we review Neil Lennon's exit from Celtic after an association of over 20 years with the club. Miff, I'm not calling you a genius, but you called this on our match reaction show on Sunday night. So how do you feel, first of all, about today's news?
Hi there, Tino. Hi, guys. I don't know. Whilst I was saying I'd called it, I'd already predicted that happening five times before as well. So I don't think it's too fair to say that I'd called it. But I thought he'd have been removed from his position after Sunday's result and performance. I stress that. It's not just the result, it's the performance as well. And I think when we go into more detail, it is the performances as much as anything that's got us to this point. How do I feel about the news? There is a small part of me, and only a small part of me, does feel that sort of almost guilt or remorse, because he's someone who is so beloved within the club. He is a legend. However, that said, this should have happened months ago, and it does beg the question to me, it raises another question to me, is why now?
Yeah, I was going to say, with the way the season's gone, obviously people have been calling for Neil Lennon's head since, I'd say, around about October time, certainly since the Ferencvaros game, actually, and several times since then. Why do you think now? Why now with just 8 games to go?
My own personal opinion is that their target has said yes. I don't necessarily think, as we have seen this season, the manager's position doesn't seem to be linked to results or performances, because he's been through about 8 or 9 sacking events this season alone. So I can only assume whatever work's been done in the background has now come to some sort of fruition, and that some guarantees have been given that whoever's going to replace him will come in the summer. That's my own thoughts on it. I may be miles off. I have absolutely no idea. I thought Lennon would have been gone by now. To me, it just seems a bit odd that it's happened now when it really should have happened months ago. I don't understand why now. I just don't understand why now. Has it got to the point where it's just so intolerable that the board have finally realised the vast majority of Celtic fans are against Lennon? I can't say that would just be something that came off the back of the Ross County result. That sentiment was already there within the support. Whilst it's been a painful season due to the results on the park, also a very intriguing season, because we're at a stage now where the whole club is in a state of flux. We've got Dominic Mackay coming in the summer, and potentially a new manager as well, potentially a new structure. And who knows, potentially some other new signings or grand vision for the club moving forward. So whilst the pain of this season is there and it will take a bit of time to heal, I think there's also reason for optimism as well.
Yeah, I think there definitely is. And what we'll do, we'll get into the nitty-gritty of Neil Lennon's time, or certainly his most recent time at the club, just shortly. I suppose what I'd like to do as well, just ahead of that, is look at some of the bigger picture stuff. So in terms of Neil Lennon's overall time at Celtic as both player and manager of the club, he's picked up a total of 21 trophies, so a phenomenal trophy haul for any individual. He has won, as a manager, he's won 5 Scottish Premier League titles, 4 Scottish Cups and 2 League Cups. Sorry, 1 League Cup as a manager, and as a player, similar, he's won 5 leagues, 4 Scottish Cups and 2 League Cup titles. What do you think about that, just in isolation, but regardless of this season?
Well, I mean, it's a huge trophy haul, but for me, the playing haul is completely separate. I don't view that. I don't view them all clustered in together. I look at it as separate. I look at his 2 spells as manager, and ultimately people have differing views on that. In his first season, he probably should have won the title and didn't. In his second season, he benefited from Rangers being liquidated, and then he had no domestic competition. Now, it was always levied against him that he'd failed to win a treble. I don't always think that's quite fair. I don't think the expectation should be just because Rangers aren't in the league, you win a treble. But he also left Celtic when he believed his stock was at its highest. Now, those who were watching Celtic at the time would agree it probably was time for a change then. Coming back when he did, some people feel like he answered the call, other people feel like he was lucky because he was out of work, he'd left his role at Hibs, and he was quite lucky to pick up the Celtic job. So there's always these 50-50 views that people take on it. For me personally, I was happy when Lennon got it at the time because I thought it was a safe pair of hands and he did the job that was asked for him. But if you remember, going back, there was a lot of last minute winners involved in that. Hearts, Dundee, you know, it was none too pretty to watch. And I was very sceptical. In fact, I was devastated when he was offered the job after the Hearts game. I think we're on record and saying that in the podcast. I think a lot of the support were. And I suppose the roots of the issues that Celtic have experienced this season and the reason that Lennon has been subjected to such vitriol by his own support is actually directly related to that action by the board to disregard any other applicant for the job after the Hearts game and offer the job to Lennon in the showers, as we're led to believe. That, I think, whilst we pretty much get away with it last season, and I don't know if you can say getting away with it because we won a treble, but it was always going to be the case that the continuation of the Rodgers era and then the beginning of the Lennon era were going to clash and you were going to get a bit of fallout from that. And unfortunately, that's happened in the 10 in a row season and it's all fell flat on its face. I think really a lot of the fans' ire goes back to that day at Hampden when Lennon was offered the job after the Hearts game.
I think you're spot on there. I think you're echoing the thoughts of a lot of fans, certainly that, you know, the fans that I know personally and that, you know, that we engage with online. I think everyone remembers how they felt when Lennon got the job, and without being too dramatic about it, but it's something that just it struck a chord. And yeah, like yourself, Miff, elated to have won the treble at the time, but also equally disappointed shortly after that to hear the news that Neil Lennon would have been given the job permanently. And that's not in a disrespectful way, but I just feel that was the perfect time to thank him for steadying the ship and taking the reins from Rodgers at the time. And he should have gone at that time, in my opinion, with all thanks and best wishes. So at this moment in time, obviously, you know, the news has just broken today and everything is a bit raw, and it has been for some time with a lot of the supporters based on what we've seen this season. But how should Neil Lennon's time at Celtic be remembered overall? And Miff, do you have any standout memories, perhaps as a manager and as a player?
Well, as a player, I love them. Standout memories, I still remember his debut Dundee, peroxide blonde hair.
You're him.
A look which I rocked myself for a few months. But this is about Neil Lennon, it's not about me. Winning the treble in his first year, being a catalyst, a real catalyst for Martin O'Neill's team, and also some really standout performances in the Champions League as well. I think that's where Lennon's style of play really benefited, is that you saw he was someone that was keen on kind of retaining the ball and doing the simple thing, which I actually remember him being howled at against Boavista at home. Larson had missed a penalty. I think it was 1-1 at the time, and he'd rolled the ball back the way he went in possession, and the fans were howling, almost booing. You know, it was a UEFA Cup semi-final at home, but that was the type of player he was. He was a tiger in midfield as well, but he was good on the ball. And you actually see, when you look back at a lot of videos of his time at Celtic, he was actually really good at set pieces as well, putting a lot of balls into the box, albeit he had some fair targets to aim for, but he was really good at putting the ball in the box in a good area as well. So for Lennon as a player, he was a real catalyst for that Martin O'Neill era, which I still look back so fondly on. You know, it was my early 20s. Then, so it was just a great time. As a manager, can remember him saying about bringing back the Thunder. I was there in one of his first caretaker games in charge. Josh Thompson scored twice against Motherwell, 1-2-1.
JT.
There was only about 15,000 in the ground at the time. Yeah, I can remember his first period in charge, bringing in the likes of Hooper, Ledley. It was a really exciting time because it felt like we were building a young, energetic, vibrant team. And the second time in charge is just really the polar opposite. There were spells last year when they were excellent. The two Lazio results are obvious standouts, but it became really, really turgid, and it was turgid at times last year. I think Rangers contributed massively to Celtic winning the league last year because they capitulated in January. So, no, for me, you know, he's always got to be a huge part of Celtic's history, but the fact that he hung on so grimly for a number of months when he shouldn't have, in a year that was so important to Celtic, in my opinion, that's going to take a long, long time for people to go over that.
Yeah, I'd say it will. So, I mean, despite the, you know, the undoubted success he had as both player and manager, it does beg the question as to where did it all start to go wrong for Neil as a manager? Where did that all start to unravel?
I would say the way that the whole situation around COVID was handled, going from Ballingolly's wee trip to Malaga to the way that Griffiths was treated very differently when coming back, to then the insistence in going to Dubai. I think Ferencváros, the two big ones for me, Ferencváros performance and result, and the Rangers performance at home.
Yeah.
That was as poor can be.
Yeah. Do you think, and obviously Neil Lennon has faced huge criticism, you know, across the season to date, and we're only 8 games before the end of the season. So across the 30 games plus Europe plus cup competitions, do you feel that all of the criticism is warranted and justified, or has it been a bit heavy-handed, or how do you feel on that?
Well, you don't want it to get personal. It clearly meant a lot to Nolan to be Celtic manager, and I understand that. You know, if you're in your dream job, you don't want to let it go too easily. But by the same token, football's a unique business in the sense that it isn't just about you, it isn't just a job for you, because there is fan representation. So it's also a business, and there's a money element to it and a success element to it. There's also the feelings and the hopes and dreams of the supporters as well. So if those are dashed so readily as they have been this season, it becomes a very emotive subject. So when you see someone there who, to everyone's eyes, I think, is clearly out their depth, struggling, and doesn't have the answers to the questions that are being posed, and yet they remain to hang into the job so grimly to everyone's detriment, including their own, it's then hard to feel like the criticism levied at them hasn't been justified. It becomes almost, to those looking on, the supporters, is that person is becoming arrogant / deluded. And I think that's how people felt, not just at Neil Lennon, but also at the board, because there was months of inaction. Some supporters, I think, were probably, I would class myself in this camp, that I was very vocal about Lennon needing to leave, but I don't feel any particular joy in it happening. You know, I'm not dancing up and down here. Today's just day one on the start of the rebuild, but what I will say is this: I don't necessarily think the rebuild's as big a job as it's being made out. We're in a very good place off the park. What we just have to make sure that we do is, from this point on, get the big decisions right, and everything else should take care of itself.
Yeah, and I think everything you're saying there, Miff, is really quite fair and quite balanced. You know, we all want the best for the club, but at times it is such an emotive subject for so many people, and Celtic means, quote unquote, so much to so many people, you know, and it's such a big part of their lives. And you can see at times why that emotion has potentially spilled over. What I'd like to do is offer just a couple of defences of Neil Lennon, just, you know, for balance here, and I'd be keen to hear your thoughts. First of all, the question is, was he given the wrong players to work with in this of all years? And I'm looking namely at guys like Barkas, Duffy and Ayeti, goalkeeper, centre-half, centre-forward. As a spine, you know, were they good enough? And a side question to that, would Brendan Rodgers or others have struggled to get a tune out of these guys? And secondly, and this is more telling for me, this is a point that I've gone on about time after time, and I think it's so important, how much did Neil Lennon not being allowed to bring in his own backroom team hamper him, and why was that allowed at all?
I think I can answer both in the one fell swoop, Tino, and that's if you appoint a yes man, you get a yes man. So unfortunately for us, Neil Lennon was happy to take the job under any conditions, and that means players like Barkas, players like Duffy, players like Ajeti, players like Klamala arrive in the squad one day before you've maybe had much notification. Now, what I will say about Duffy, I would imagine Duffy, you know, Lennon, it seems to me like it would be a Lennon signing just purely because he was a British-based player, and that seems to be Lennon's preference. And buying players, I mean, as for Ajeti, if it's to be believed, Lennon flew to London to seal that deal. That was a chat at the time. Again, it was just paper talk, but Lennon flew to London. I think Ajeti was stolen in the deal because it was a loan. Ajeti flew to London to let him know that he wanted him, and that's when the deal was made permanent. With Barkas, obviously, the Barkas deal only happens because the Foster deal doesn't get done. Is that Neil Lennon's fault? I would doubt that very much. You can look at it and say that there's mitigating circumstances to why the season's been such a disaster, but Celtic offering Lennon the job has led to this, because Neil Lennon has ultimately been put in there by Peter Lawwell because he knew he would do pretty much what Peter Lawwell asked him to do. The reason that Brendan Rodgers left us high and dry, as he did, was because the relationship with Lawwell had deteriorated, when all of us as fans would be looking at that and saying we should be reinvesting in Rodgers and giving him what he wants and giving him the power that he needs to take the club forward. We did the opposite, and it looks like Lawwell won the power struggle, and we've ended up with Neil Lennon as manager as a result. So all those events are actually linked, and that's what leads you to the road where the recruitment is poor, because you're doing the recruitment without really involving the most important person at the club, and that's the manager.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I think that's all fair enough. What we'll do now, we're fortunate enough to be joined by Alan Stubbs on the line, so let's go straight to Alan to get his thoughts on today's breaking news. Alan, good to have you on board. What's your take on today's breaking news?
Hi, Tino, okay. Hi, IMF. Obviously, very sad for Neil, but unfortunately, I think it's been coming for a number of months, and I'm sad for Neil on a personal level, but I think we have to remember you know, the success that Neil had as a player and as a manager. And, you know, he had some incredibly good times. But unfortunately, in such a, you know, it's such an important season, they've come up very short, you know, and I think this news that we've obviously heard was inevitable.
Yeah, as you say, Alan, it seemed to be unfortunately news that was coming for a long time, and I think a lot of fans maybe wanted it to take place a few months before it actually did. Where do you think it all went wrong for Neil this year? Obviously, he's had huge success as a player and manager for Celtic, but yeah, where do you think it really fell down this year?
Well, I think if you go through it all, I think first and foremost, before a ball was kicked, the recruitment has not been a success. You know, you look at across the park and you look at Rangers, they've done a lot of their business before the ball has been kicked. They had a settled and smooth run into the beginning of the season, where Celtic was still running around, you know, looking for players. You know, the goalkeeper situation has been a big loss. You know, Fraser Foster, you know, you were hoping that he was going to sign again, and he never. And then, you know, Barkas has just not worked out. You know, it's not to say he's not a good keeper, but it just hasn't worked out. The central defence, you know, has been an issue that went through Dyer wanting to leave, whether injuries, Shane Duffy not really hitting the ground running when he's come, you know, and then obviously talk of other players, of unrest and players wanting to leave, and, you know, let's be honest, you know, a couple of them throwing the toys out the pram and feeling sorry for themselves. Then the performances then on the pitch have not been where Celtic fans would expect, and then obviously them falling behind Rangers. The performances in all firm games, especially the first one, was a bit of an alarm bell ringing. And then ultimately the Dubai trip, I think, was the icing on the cake in terms of things going from bad to worse. And even though the performance in the All Firm game over the Christmas and New Year was much positive, and they were no qualms in terms of they were by far the better team, ultimately it lost the game, and the gap was, you know, was never seen to be getting shorter. It only looked like it was only going to be getting bigger.
You've been in dressing rooms yourself, you've managed teams. The thing for me was that there just seemed to be a bit of a disconnect between the management and the players. Now, I'm not saying for a minute the yeah. players weren't playing for them, but to me it seemed like almost a variety of different circumstances all seemed to come to a head, with the fact that there was players in the dressing room wanting away. There was how the COVID breaches of both Griffiths and Ball and Goalie were handled differently. Lots of things there that would suggest that the dressing room itself, added with the fact that the COVID restrictions, would have been a really unhappy place. Do you think that Neil Lennon could have handled that better than what he did, or how he spoke about it publicly?
I think ultimately Neil will be in charge of how the atmosphere is at the training ground but I think the big issue was that the players' body language and some of the games, even when I was commentating for Celtic TV and you know, and doing the radio and Sky, you know, for me the body language of some of the players was really poor, which tells you that something's not right.
And I think in this season of all seasons, even that, as much as it's just a visual and a perception thing, that had to be spot on, I think, for the sake of the fans. And
yeah,
it, as it started to unravel, I think that's why things just kind of snowballed for there. I would completely agree with that, Alan. Completely agree with that.
Yeah, I think what you'll find that over the next few days or the next week, you'll start to have things coming out about everything, what was going on. And unfortunately, when you do see that, you'll understand why the season has been such a disastrous season. You know, for me, whether some of the players have not liked the way Neil has managed them, whether Neil has not liked the way some of them have conducted themselves, when you cross that white line, you have a duty to the fans and the football club to perform. Put aside your differences if you've got one with the manager. Ultimately, you train from on a Monday to Friday or a Monday to Saturday if you're playing on a Sunday to go and win games of football. And you win games of football. You don't necessarily win games of football ultimately for a manager. You win games of football for the football club and for your teammates and for the fans.
Yeah, that's a point I'd be quite keen to pick up on, Alan. I think, you know, obviously Neil Lennon takes responsibility for all things football, or that should certainly be the case at any club. And there's no doubt, you know, he has made some mistakes, whether that be tactically or players he's picked or formations or whatever. But how much responsibility do you feel that the players should carry for the way things have played out this season?
I think that they certainly have played their part. You know, the figurehead, as in the manager, will always carry the can for performances, for results, for everything else. But the players have a huge say in that. And unfortunately, you know, you've seen even in some of the interviews with Neil after the game where you can see that he's so frustrated with the way the team's played, and he's trying to protect them. You know, more than what I would personally think he's wanted to, you know, because he's dealing with different types of players than what he's had to come across, certainly in his time as a player and in the early days that he had as a manager. And he's trying to just, I think, keep them as much as he could. But ultimately, you know, they've let Neil down and all. There's no denying that. You know, the recruitment's been really poor. You know, and they've just got too many major decisions wrong.
Yeah, I think between, you know, Neil Lennon himself and perhaps some of the actions of some of the players and potentially even stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about at this moment in time, it's perhaps all come together to create that situation. I wonder as well, Neil's obviously come from a different era, you know, maybe kind of playing at a similar time as yourself, Alan. The game has evolved quite dramatically since then, and I wonder if Neil's style maybe doesn't quite work with the, dare I say, ego-driven modern footballer to an extent. And without knowing about individual cases, it seems that Neil's tried the softly approach, the arm around the shoulder, as well as the, you know, the rocket, the hairdryer, whatever you want to call it. And it just seems that he's not been getting the response from this group of players that he'd hoped for.
I think, you know, when you look at, you know, last season, you know, they obviously, you know, they won the treble. So, you know, things couldn't have been that bad, you know, from that point of view. You don't win the league, no matter even if you've, you know, you have, if people will say, well, that was a lot of it with Brendan Rodgers' team from that, you know, but he's come in and it was a, you know, a bit of a seamless transition from Peter because he knew Neil. And at that time, it was such a shock that Brendan had gone, and he wanted someone to steady the ship. And you know, and Neil was that man. And you know, he's come in and he's done what he needs to do. You know, but then obviously there was a little bit of discontent in the way the team were playing in terms of the style. And then Neil started to allude to this tippy tappy football that was frustrating them, and he wanted to play a different style. And it just hasn't worked. You know, there's been some decent performances in there, but there's been too many abject performances and performances that the Celtic fans didn't want to put up with. And in the end, you know, the frustration of everybody involved with the football club has resulted in Neil losing his job, and I think it was getting towards a stage where obviously the result last Sunday was the tip of the iceberg. You know, the club needed to be coming out and showing the fans that they were preparing for a rebuild, and I think if, you know, a lot of the fans wanted this done even earlier. But at least now they can start to, you know, look for the next manager, and I think it's got to be a statement. I really do in terms of the appointment. I think it's got to appease the Celtic support and a manager that, you know, yes, gives them the wow factor, but also plays this in a style that relates to the not just the football club, to the fans, and gets them on the edge of the seats again and get them excited.
That's an excellent point, Alan, because I was actually speaking to one of my friends today and saying that the Celtic manager's job's pretty unique, because just winning games isn't enough. It's got to be done with a certain amount of style as well. So you need to kind of do both. I think in recent history, somebody like Gordon Strachan, who was a really pragmatic manager and got results, still didn't really keep all the fans happy when he was in the role. But just 2 points that you made there, Alan, and it's something that we've really been picking up on when we've been doing the podcast, the kind of weekly podcast and the post-match reactions, is level of performance, like you mentioned there. There was just too many of those games, even in the games they were winning, where there was just no... They weren't even dominating or creating clear-cut chances. It was really kind of scrappy football. But also, and I think this is the key thing, is the recruitment. If you've got an already successful squad, players that have been there and are battle-hardened and have done it year in, year out, and then a kind of flux of new players come in and you don't feel they're up to scratch or you don't feel they're improving the squad, that can have a bit of a demoralising effect as well, because you don't feel you've strengthened from that dominant position. And I think with Barkas, looked like a really good signing on paper, albeit we would have preferred Foster. But the one for me is Duffy. Everybody thought we needed that extra centre-half, and Duffy ticked every box. I don't think there was a Celtic fan around that wasn't happy with that signing. And it's just one of those ones that, for whatever reason, timing, anything at all, it just has not worked. And I think ultimately it's that type of kind of signing that's going to typify the season and has ultimately led to Neil Lennon leaving Celtic.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at Celtic's recruitment of the, you know, certainly if you look at just the last 12 months, I'd have to look at all them signings and go, okay, yeah, you know, not bad. I wouldn't look at any of them apart from, you know, Turnbull, who's been very good. I've been very impressed by his performances. Apart from anything else, I'd go, yeah, okay. But nothing else, you know. And certainly, if you haven't got me excited, how would he going to get the Celtic support excited? You know, where's these, you know, star billing signings that a club like Celtic should be attracting? And I think Turnbull is going to be, you know, a really good player. I think Callum McGregor is as being the one consistent performer this season. And he epitomises, you know, what the club is all about. And I think he's the one that has dealt with everything better than any other player. Because it's, for me, every time I've done the games, he's been the one that's been driving force and has not looked to hide in a game and looked to get on the ball. And yes, okay, he might have made a mistake straight away. He's still looking to get on the ball. And I think this Celtic, don't want to label them with it, but I think the performances that they've had this season have lacked character.
Yeah, I think a few things have been pitched at this Neil Lennon side, and one thing is that they don't really have a clear identity just now as well. Alan, you know, are they a physical side? Do they retain possession for long spells? Do they go direct? It's just a wee bit haphazard at times, and sometimes it seems like we roll the dice to an extent, and we've obviously come up short on several occasions this season. I suppose one key question we'd like to ask, Alan, obviously, not to, unless you do have any particular inside thoughts, but do you have any thoughts or suggestions on who you think the next manager should be, or certainly what kind of calibre he should be?
Well, I think that this is going to be the crucial questions that the whoever's going to be in control of the selection for the new manager, whether it's the Dermot Desmond, whether it's the head of football. I think if you're looking at the head of football, if the Celtic fans thought it was going to be that, then I think there'd be a bit of an outcry. You know, it's okay just saying names, but I think the one thing the manager's got to do, whoever it's going to be, he's got to have a connection with the fans. He's got to be someone that the fans can relate to. And, you know, I think at times when I've watched Celtic this season, I think you've made a really good point in terms of, I think in a couple of the Old Firm games, I think they've been outthought, and Rangers have looked like they've had a plan
to combat Celtic, and they've had a structure in terms of what they've done, whereas Celtic have looked like a team where they think that they are the better team, and they just have to turn up on the pitch and go and play.
Yeah, I think that's all fair comment, Alan. I was just going to say, I hope you don't break Miff's heart here. He's got his heart set on Steve Clarke.
I've not got my heart set on him. What I said was, I think that is the type of manager that we'd go for. Yeah. Tino.
But he does lack that connection with the club. I know he was associated with Celtic in his younger days, but I wonder how that kind of signing will go down. Time will tell, Alan. But listen, thanks very much for joining us tonight, and obviously for covering today's big news. And we'll look forward to speaking with you again soon.
No problem, guys. Pleasure as always.
All the best, Alan. Thanks, cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. So, Miff, it'd be remiss of us not to take a very quick look at this stage at John Kennedy's appointment as interim manager for the remaining 8 games of the season. So what do you make of that overall, and what do you expect to see? Could John Kennedy get the role permanently, or would that not be something you would picture?
I would doubt that very much, but I really am completely torn on John Kennedy, because on the one hand, a lot of people have got a lot of good things to say about him. The players, from what I gather, privately speak very highly of him and rate him. However, this season he appeared to be as much use as a chocolate fire guard to Neil Lennon, so I'm not sure if he and Lennon were butting heads, and Kennedy's just taking a step back and said, well, I'm not going to continue to butt heads with him, I'll just let him charge on and do his thing and basically give himself enough role. But it'll be interesting to see how things pan out from here. I wouldn't be a fan of Kennedy getting appointed long term, because I think that's just another yes man going into the position. I think we need somebody with a bit of gravitas is going to attract the quality player that we need to rebuild the squad, and not just look domestically. Ultimately, we'll be in competition with Rangers, we know that. Hopefully that'll be a bit more nip and tuck next season than what it's been this season. But there has to be a plan to try and evolve the club and, you know, keep these good players for a bit longer than what we do. Having them for 18 months isn't really any good, because you're not getting the chance to keep a squad harmonious for a period of time. Try and keep the good players for a wee bit longer, if that means giving them better contracts, shock horror, then we might need to do that and spend a bit more in terms of our wages. Less of these project signings, and just really support whoever the new manager is. Kennedy may very well still have a part to play in the new manager's future at the club, because he's worked through other managers before. He knows the club inside out. He seems to be favoured by Lowell. It's just, to me, it's just really interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see how he reacts, formation that he plays, because I think that will be indicative as to what the problems have been between him and Lennon, if any. You know, we speculate that there's problems there. Just because he stands looking quite stern and doesn't really smile much, we assume that there's been issues between them.
Well, I think that's an important point to make, because really, as much as you and I and everybody can speculate on what John Kennedy's bringing to the party and what Gavin Strachan is bringing, you just don't know.
A laptop.
He's bringing that and then some. But if you're not at Lennox Town every day and watching training and focusing on, you know, catching team meetings and seeing what the tactical approach is, we really don't know. And John Kennedy has taken a lot of grief this season, but he's the same John Kennedy that got all the praise under Brendan Rodgers. So you can't be a good coach 1 minute and then all of a sudden you're not. You either are or you aren't. And I think without the benefit of seeing behind the scenes, we just don't know. But we will find out in the next 8 games.
Yeah, that's why I'm so torn on it, because on one hand, there's evidence there to suggest that he's a good coach. Rodgers tried to take him with him to Leicester, so I doubt he'd be doing that if he wasn't any good. So obviously within the right coaching setup, Kennedy can clearly flourish and is highly regarded. But like we've seen this season, the body language of the coaching staff, as well as the players, has been really, really poor. And Kennedy's been involved in that. Now, whether he's trying to disassociate himself from what he sees as a failing regime, or whether he just feels it's completely pointless putting his point across because it's going to get ignored, I would imagine Neil Lennon is very much his own man when it comes to what tactics he adopts and how the team sets up and plays. Yes, very intriguing times coming up with regards to how we're going to set up and how Kennedy goes about his time in interim charge. I just feel Kennedy's been in with the bricks for a long time now, and maybe it is time for some fresh ideas to come in, people that haven't been there through previous regimes. On the other hand, you could say how successful the Rodgers era was. He is a coach who was there and saw the way the players were training, preparing, setting up. You know, if you can get back to that sort of that standard, which has clearly slipped, then I think that would be exciting for all Celtic fans. So
yeah,
we'll see.
I think the John Kennedy situation overall is fascinating. And what will be really interesting is to see what kind of changes he does make on Saturday against Aberdeen. Will he stick with the diamond? Will he go 4-2-3-1, which was the Rodgers approach? Will he bag certain guys from the starting lineup? And that will be very telling as to, you know, maybe how closely linked him and Neil Lennon's philosophy as well.
What about you? What do you think? Do you think he's been there too long and he should move on? Or are you one that believes that he is a good coach and he's worth keeping?
There's pros and cons for being there too long. You know, the con would be that you become complacent and, you know, sometimes you need to freshen things up and come up with new ideas and new approaches. And the players need to hear from different people as well. So a lot of folk would say that if Neil Lennon, you know, is moving on, which he has done today, then anyone associated with his coaching setup should also move on. And I can absolutely understand why folks would say that. But I also believe there's a lot to be said for the knowledge and, if I'm led to, you know, believe the reports I hear, that the quality that John Kennedy brings from a coaching point of view. I remember hearing a couple of years ago that aside from what he's doing now, you know, being in the dugout, there was a suggestion that he was being groomed to become our first director of football and take a more technical role in what we do. He's a smart guy. He's well respected. He's long in the game. And I think he's a really decent type. So personally speaking, you know, the 8 games will be very intriguing, but I think I'd like to see him around the club somewhere. But, you know, what happens in the next 3, 4, 5 games might have a huge bearing on that. And also, you know, Dom McKay, my friend Dom, he'll come in and he'll have his own ideas as well as to whether we should root and branch, clear things out, or whether it should be a more, you know, integrated approach. So that'll be very interesting. So finally, I mean, the story of John Kennedy, it is intriguing, and we'll wait to see how that plays out. But just before we wrap up, to return to Neil Lennon as we close out tonight's show, Matt, do you have any final comments, any parting words on the man and on his Celtic legacy?
Like I say, Celtic legacy is not in doubt. He will always have one. He's ingrained through the club, past, was that 20 years in total service or something like that?
He signed for Celtic on the 6th of December 2000, so over 20 years ago.
Over 20 years ago, albeit that he did go to Bolton and Hibs in the intervening period. But that aside, it's going to take me a wee while to go over the last 4 or 5 months, just speaking from a personal point of view, because he dug his heels in so far when it clearly wasn't working. I think you only need to listen back to maybe 3 or 4 podcasts that we've done during that time to hear how exasperated that was at the performances I was watching on the park. And I just can't accept that he wasn't doing the same, despite what he was saying publicly. I can't believe he wasn't doing the same. And for it to go on so long, and for him to come out and say in November time that if it didn't improve, he would walk, and to then see a further 5 months or 4 months of stagnation, that still rankles with me, if I'm being honest. No doubt he's a Celtic man, whatever that means. No doubt that he cares deeply about the club. There has been a wee bit of damage done to his reputation, but probably not his legacy, just on the basis of the length of time he's been involved with the club and the success he has achieved.
Yeah, thanks for that, Miff. I'm in complete agreement with pretty much everything you've said tonight, so thanks for that and for joining us tonight. So that brings to an end tonight's special episode of the Celtic Exchange, on a day which marks the end of Neil Lennon's long association with Celtic Football Club, at least in a professional capacity. Everyone will have their thoughts on him as a player, coach and manager of the club, and everyone's fully entitled to those opinions, whatever they may be. However, I'd just like to finish tonight's show by asking people to remember that whatever they think of Neil Lennon, the former player and manager, to also spare a thought for Neil Lennon, the man, who has perhaps given more for our club in a personal capacity than any other individual in modern times. We all want what's best for Celtic Football Club, and we've been as hurt by this season as everyone else. However, in an era where it's sadly all too easy to get caught up in personal attacks and vindictive behaviour online, I'd suggest that no one is hurting tonight more than Neil Lennon. From me personally, I hope he goes, and he does go, with my thanks and best wishes, and my hope that time and history remembers him as fondly as I think it should. And we now move on to a new era for Celtic Football Club. Thanks again to Miff, thanks to you for listening, and we'll see you again next time.